Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32. I'll just read a couple of verses and a quick update from this morning and then move forward. The identity of a disciple, Jesus challenges us in this chapter to identify with him. And I gave you a couple ways to identify with him this morning. I'm going to give you a couple more tonight. Actually, hopefully more than a couple. We'll do it quickly. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse number 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. We read more this morning, but that's all we need for tonight. Here's the challenge. Identify with Jesus Christ. Are you willing to confess him publicly? Are you willing to confess him before men? Or do you deny him before men? One of the ways of identifying with Jesus Christ is by getting baptized. No, baptism doesn't save a person, but it identifies us with Jesus Christ. I gave you an example of a Palestinian man who came to Christ. He got saved. And one of his big decisions was, am I going to get baptized or not? Because if he got baptized, it would mean turning his back on his entire family. He did get baptized because he got saved. He was baptized, he said, in the Pacific Ocean. Actually, before that, he said he was baptized in the Holy Land. It may have been the Jordan River. I'm not sure where it was, but then he got baptized, trying to figure things out. He got baptized again in the Pacific Ocean. He identified with Christ, and because he did that, his family turned his back on him. One of the ways to identify with Jesus Christ is by what you say. Your speech identifies you. We used Peter this morning as an example, and his speech identified him as a disciple of Jesus Christ. He denied Christ, but his speech still identified him. I'm going to give you some more tonight. I'm going to give them to you quickly, and I'm going to give you some that are really going to be challenging. Some of these, I admit, they are going to be difficult. They're going to challenge you. They're going to be hard for me to say, but they're also going to be hard for you to accept. But I want to give it to you, and I'm going to give them to you from the Bible. And here's the first one. That is this. The clothes you wear identify you. Now, we all know that. If you were at a store, and somebody came up to you with khaki pants and a red shirt and said, may I help you, where would you be? Target. Your clothes identify you. If you're playing basketball, you have two different teams, you have two different uniforms. Why? To identify you. Oh, we're not supposed to be talking about basketball, remember, for this morning? No, we can talk about basketball, it's fine. Your uniform identifies you. Your clothes identify you. One of the great commercials that I've seen has been for the cell phone companies and all the different colors of shirts. If I was to say the different colors of shirts, you know what company we're talking about. Okay, so which one has a red shirt? Verizon. Yellow shirt? Sprint. Pink shirt? T-Mobile. Okay, I think I've proved my point, but let me give you some Bible verses. All right, the clothes that you wear identify you. We should all try to dress to glorify God. It's just the bottom line. 1 Corinthians 10:31, the Bible says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. You're identified as respectful or disrespectful based on your clothes. Did you realize that? You don't have to say a thing. You don't even have to open your mouth. Just show up. And whether it's right or wrong, people identify you based on your clothes. If you go to a funeral in old jeans and a dirty t-shirt, you are being disrespectful to the family. I think that's just obvious. If you go to a wedding in your work clothes, you're being disrespectful to the bride and groom. If you go to court in your workout clothes, you're being disrespectful to the judge. We should dress up for church. Simply to show respect to God. If you go out to eat after church, I'm going to be on just for a minute. I'm going to move past it, okay? So we can all be comfortable and breathe again here in just a minute, all right? But I know it's uncomfortable because something we have to do every day, right? Put clothes on. And I'm glad you did. Thank you. But it is something that we deal with every day. If you go out to eat after church, it shouldn't surprise you or offend you if someone asks you if you just came from church. That's an okay thing because you're identifying as, hey, I just went to church. If you get up, and this is a totally off the subject, but if you walk out of your house in the morning, you're carrying a Bible, and you get in your car, what's that do? That identifies you. You're going to church. The neighbors are going to see you going to church. Today after church, instead of driving the bus all the way back here, I drove the bus and parked it in our neighborhood. That will identify you, right? except the bus doesn't say anything on it, except the words are taken up. But after this afternoon, I'm getting ready to come back to church. I had to walk back to the bus. I carried my Bible all the way down the neighborhood, about half a block to get to the bus. And I thought, you know, if anybody looks out, it's going to be pretty obvious. I didn't like carry it like this, you know, and act, you know, pompous or pious, whatever it was. But just it'd be obvious. You carrying your Bible, you go into church. You ought to dress like that. If you don't respect God, then don't dress up for church. If you do respect God, then show Him that you respect Him by dressing up for His day at His house. Your clothes identify you. I mean, it's just obvious. Something that we can do to show respect. You know, there's more to that, though. The clothes that you wear, I identify you. Tonight, I'm not trying to convince you to get saved. All right? I hope that you do get saved. But that's really not what tonight is about. Tonight is about helping you as a Christian to be able to grow, to identify as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm not upset at anybody, so don't worry about that. I'm just trying to teach you from the Bible. You know, we should dress modestly. You know, there's clothing that's not modest. And I'm not preaching the whole thing on clothing, so don't worry about that. But there is clothing that is not modest. I think you understand that. We should dress modestly. The Bible says, and I'll give you some verses here in just a moment, but that we ought to adorn ourselves in modest apparel. You know, if you wear it, there's clothing that's not modest. And if you wear that, you identify with the other people that wear that type of clothing. That's just the way it is. It's just the way it works. So if you dress immodestly, you wear clothing that is immodest, you associate, you identify, instead of identifying with Jesus Christ, you're identifying with the other groups of people that wear the clothing that is not modest. Let me give you one verse from the Bible, and I'll move on quickly, I promise. Proverbs 7:10, the Bible says, "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart." Didn't say she was one. We found out later she was, but it says she was dressed like one. And being dressed like one, the word harlot would be like prostitute, and being dressed like one identified her as being one. So whether you are one or not, if you dress like one, you might be identified as being one. The clothing that you wear identifies you. So we ought to dress up for the Lord. We should dress modestly, and we should dress biblically. So does that mean dressing in bed sheets and your dad's old robe? I mean, biblically, right? If I think dressing biblically, I'm thinking shepherds and wise men and angels, and I'm thinking Christmas program. No, that's not what we're talking about. You don't have to look like you're dressing for a church Christmas program, but dress how the Bible says to dress. That's really all we have to do to identify with Jesus Christ in our dress. Deuteronomy 22:5, the Bible says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment." That's pretty clear. Let's don't dress like the other one. And we ought not to go into the other one's bathrooms either, right? It's the same issue. They're connected. Dressing like a woman if I'm a man, or dressing like a man if I'm a woman, they're connected, or going into the other one's bathrooms. And I'll just leave that right there. But they are connected. God wants separation in the genders. That's why He put that verse in the Bible. Let me go back. "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." All right? 1 Timothy 2:9 talks about dressing biblically. "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety." The Bible talks about it. It is actually a topic that's in the Bible. It's something that we ought to make sure we're doing right. The clothes you wear identify you. I want to identify as a disciple of Jesus Christ. In my baptism, I got baptized. I want to identify with Him. The words I say, I want to identify. I want people to know you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, aren't you? And I want to be able to say, "Yes, I am. How did you know?" And I want them to be able to say, "Well, the words you say, the clothes you wear, the Bible you carry under your arm, the baptism." There's a story in the Bible, and I don't have time to get into all of it tonight. Ahab convinced Jehoshaphat to go to battle with him. Wouldn't it be awful to be named Jehoshaphat? I mean, anything with the name Fat in it, I wouldn't like if I was named that, David Fat. I mean, ooh, that'd be Jehoshaphat. So this is the guy's name. Ahab convinces Jehoshaphat, "Go to battle with me. We're going to fight against the Syrians, all right? We're going to take back some land that they took from us. We're going to go to battle." Ahab's the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat's the king of Judah, where Jerusalem was. He convinces him to go with him, but listen to the instructions the king of Israel, Ahab, gives to Jehoshaphat. "And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle." If I was Jehoshaphat right there, I'd have backed out of the whole deal. So you're going to dress like a commoner and you want me to dress like the king? Who are they going to shoot for? They're going to be shooting at me. This isn't even my fight. I'm going to help you fight this battle. And you're going to dress like a common person? You want me to dress like the king? No way, I'm out. For that reason, I am out, right? Shark Tank. I would not do that. Why? Because his clothing identified him. The one who dressed up, put thou on thy robes. He's the king. Everybody's shooting at him. And they did. The Bible says they pursued him. The enemy pursued him. They were shooting at him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. They realized he wasn't the king. I don't know how they realized it. Maybe they got close enough and maybe his royal garments were like, that's the wrong king. So they stopped chasing him. Then the Bible says, some soldier, this guy with a bow and arrow, he takes his bow and draws it. And the Bible says he just shoots it kind of at random, just a Hail Mary shot like that. We can say that, right? We're Baptist. He shoots it out like that. And the Bible says it hits King Ahab in the, I don't remember the exact words, I didn't look it up, but basically in the buckle in the back of his armor and kills him, right? So didn't really matter how he dressed. To the enemy, God eventually killed him in the battle because he had sinned so much. But the clothes they wore identified them. I hope you just get that. The clothes you wear will identify you. It's an important thing. So which side of the battle do you identify with? Are you on the Lord's side? Or are you on the world's side? Or are you trying to be on both sides? You heard about the Civil War soldier that didn't know which side to be on, so he dressed one side blue, one side gray. Do you know what happened when he went into the battle? Both sides shot at him. Somebody said this, the only thing in the middle of the road is a yellow line and dead skunks. That's not where I want to be. I want to be on one side or the other side. I want to be on the Lord's side. Who is on the Lord's side? Great psalm that we sing, James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. He wasn't pulling any punches, was he? Just let it right out. The adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Whose side am I on? Whose side do my clothes say that I am on? Now on the inside I might be saying, go God's team, go Jesus' team, and I'm rooting for that team. That's on the inside. But on the outside, I might be wearing the enemy's uniform. I had a friend, Brother Wooten, you know Brother Wooten. We were in high school, and he came up and he said, hey, let's go watch a football game. We went to the Lobos game, and we sat up, kind of up, I think it was the last Lobos game I was at, and I'll tell you why in a minute. And we were sitting kind of towards the top there, and I'm not really an outspoken. If I go to a football game, basketball game, I don't stand up on the chair and yell and shout and all that. I some of you do, and that's fine. That's a personality thing. I just don't. He did. He's very vocal. And he is an Aggies fan. Sorry, Brother Ryan. Y'all just close your ears for a minute. So here he was. We're sitting up there and cheering for the Lobos, Yaga Lobos. And he is cheering as loud as he can in enemy territory for the other team. Why would I want to do that as a Christian? Why would I say that I'm on the Lord's side, but my clothing say I am identifying with the other side? Just be careful with it. Your clothing identifies you. The Bible teaches that your love identifies you. John chapter 13, I'm going to give you one verse. I'm going to give it to you quickly. Jesus is talking and he says this, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. How's the world going to know that we are Jesus' disciples? If we have love one toward another. Our love identifies us. You know, that's a unique thing about Christianity is love. I gave you the example of the Muslim man. The prince, the green prince is what he was often called. The son of Hamas is the name of the book that he wrote. And I don't remember his Masab Hassan Yosef. That was his name. All right. And his father was one of the leaders of Hamas. And I don't remember where I was even going with that. Oh, love. One of the things, the biggest thing that convinced him to become a Christian was when Jesus said, love your enemies. That's unique. The love of a husband for a wife, that's unique among Christianity. Go to the rest of the world and see how husbands treat their wives, like property in many places. The love for a neighbor, the love even for an enemy. Love is giving of yourself without thought of what you get in return. Love is sacrificial. Love is serving others without getting any recognition or any reward. Love isn't about what you can get from the relationship, but what you can give. Love is teaching a class of kids that can't do much to pay you back, maybe never anything, but you teach them anyway. Love's working on a bus route, bringing kids to church that only take from you and never give back, unless it's wiping their nose on your clothes or something. But it's okay. I mean, that's reality, all right? That is, you wear your nice clothes to church and you work on the bus route and some kid wipes their nose on your clothes and you're like, but the kid that God loves, right? So that's love. Love is giving and not getting. Love is sacrificing your time so that others can get saved and get to know God. Love is investing your life into your kids, if you're a parent, so they grow up knowing God and loving God. Your love identifies you. Your clothes identify you. Your baptism identifies you. Your speech identifies you. This is big. Your name identifies you. No, that's kind of just a given, right? Your name identifies you. We have IDs, right? Because that's our name. It identifies us. Let's go a little deeper than that. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when they had found him, they brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And here's the part I wanted to get to. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They weren't called Christians. They were just disciples of Jesus Christ. And then all of a sudden they are called Christians. They have been given a name, and the name identified them. Christian, Christ follower. And they were given that name. That name identified them. Does anybody outside church know that you're a Christian? This is challenging for all of us. Do your neighbors know that you're a Christian? Remember, the personal challenge for this week is to invite at least one neighbor to church next week. My personal challenge to you, I'm going to do it. I'm going to challenge you to do that as well. Right? Is that what you're supposed to do? Let's do it. Personal challenge. I don't even know what that means. All right. Personal challenge to you. Do people know that you're a Christian? Think about this. If you are saved, if you're a child of God, being a Christian is the most important part of your existence. If you were to list everything about your life, you would have to put being a Christian at the very top. Whenever somebody stands up in a testimony time and says, okay, Sister Bertha, what are you thankful for? And she's going to say the first thing, I just want to thank the Lord for my salvation, right? And that's the right thing to do. That is the identifier. We are Christians. If you weren't a Christian, you'd still be lost in your sins. If you weren't a Christian, you'd right now be facing eternity separated from God in hell, because the Bible says, he that believeth not on Jesus Christ is condemned already. So right now, that's what you'd be facing. But because you are a Christian, you can start every day and end every day with God. Because you are a Christian, you'll spend forever in heaven with God. Being a Christian is the most important identifier in your life, so other people should know. You might be asking, well, what's the big deal? It's just a name. It's just a name. Let me give you an illustration to help you understand. This is just a current event news story. Nehemiah Griego wants to change his name. I don't know if that name is familiar to you. 5 years ago, Nehemiah, or 6 years ago, Nehemiah Griego murdered his family, his little brother, his little sister, his baby sister. I played in that house when I was a kid where he lived. I can picture those rooms, not with him, as just a different owner of the house at the time. Then he murdered his mom and he murdered his dad. He was, I think he was 16 years old at the time. He turns 21 this month. He might be getting out of jail. We're not sure. They filed a something to try to keep him in. But when he gets out, he is requested, his attorney requested, that he be able to change his name. And that he could do it anonymously, and that the records would be sealed so that nobody would know what his name is. Why? Because he wants to be able to get away from who he was. He wants a new identity. His attorney said, for his own safety, we need to not let anybody know what his name is. Now, I disagree with that. I think we ought to know what his name is. But here's the point. His name identifies him. Your name identifies you. What's the big deal about being called a Christian? What's the big deal about identifying and saying, yes, I am a Christian, letting people know I am a Christian, because it identifies you as a follower of Jesus Christ? Why don't you want people to know that you're a Christian? I know the answer to that because I struggle with it too. I want people to like me. And if they know I'm a Christian, they might not like me. I struggle with that. Maybe some of you, different personalities, I understand are different. I don't care what people think about me, but maybe that's you. I don't know. I do, all right? And I struggle with that. I know it's not something, it's a pride issue, I know, but we're thinking about it all wrong. What would please God. How would God receive the most glory? It's not whether about I'm liked or not. It's about whether I please God or not. I want to identify with God. I want to identify with Jesus Christ. After all he's done for me, I want to live for him and be called by his name. I want to be known as a Christian. I love the expressive reading. I want to follow him. I want to live for Jesus. And that's identifying. It's okay. I want people to know I'm a Christian. Remember the 70s? How many remember the 70s? If you lived through it, you probably don't remember it anyway, right? But the buttons, right? You'd stamp a button and you'd wear it and you'd tell everybody I don't know why we don't do buttons. Maybe it's because of the 70s thing. There's a story I've shared before. A girl's mom, when she was a baby, saved her from a fire. She stepped out for a minute. She had dinner going. The house was burning down. She ran into the house, rescued her little baby girl from the fire. But in the process, she was burned horribly all over her body, and her face was horribly disfigured and mangled because of it. Before they had surgeries to fix all that, but still just terribly, terribly burned. Time passed. The daughter grew up, became a young adult, and she's sitting with her friends, and one of her friends looked over and saw this woman and said, "What is that hideous creature?" Something along those lines. The daughter, who was rescued by the mom, looked over, saw that it was her mom, didn't want to identify with her, said, "Oh, I don't know, that's horrible, isn't it?" Didn't even speak up and say, "My mom got that way because she saved my life." You know, we do that and worse to our Savior. He died for us. He paid the price on the cross. He suffered. He bled. He was beaten. He was tortured. And somebody will ask, "Are you a Christian?" Or we bow our heads to pray at the restaurant and it's more like a sneeze. Or maybe drop and get our napkin and, "Father, thank you for this food. Amen." Or we're embarrassed. Why are we embarrassed to be identified with him after all he's done for us? And I'm going to try to finish quickly. And that's this: your associations identify you. There's a lot of those. Your associations identify you. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 69, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them, saying, I know not what thou sayest." Notice what she said. You were with him. You were with Jesus. The fact that you were with Jesus makes me think you are one of his disciples. Your associations identify you. He denied it. The next verse, this is verse 71, "And when he was gone out to the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." He was with him. He's one of his disciples. And the reason I think he's a disciple is because he was with him. That word "with" is important. The people that you are with identify you. Your associations identify you. And again, he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." He ended up denying him three times. We know that. When I was in elementary school, it's probably about third, fourth, maybe fifth grade, there was two kids. They got in a fight. They were there at the school, and both of them were friends. You know, just sometimes friends don't see things the same way, especially in elementary school. They got in a fight. A couple of us were standing right there watching them fight. I mean, it was entertaining. There was nothing else going on at recess. We were watching a fight. We weren't fighting. I was just watching them fight. I won't tell you who the other one was, but one of them was Brother Covington, and he was a little guy. We were watching them fight. It was a Christian school. The pastor came out, saw all the boys out there, this fight going on. Guess who got in trouble? All of us. I got a detention that day. And if I got a detention, I was in big trouble when I got home. And I wasn't even in the fight. Your associations identify you. You know what my detention said? Fighting. But I wasn't fighting. Try explaining that one to your parents. The pastor saw it. If the only thing I knew about you was who your friends are, what would I think about you? Think about this. Do your friends encourage you to grow closer to Jesus or pull you away from him? You will be labeled by the people you spend time with. If I didn't know you at all and all I knew, I interviewed your friends or I just watched your friends, what would I think about you? This is big because your associations identify you. Do you spend time with people in the church that criticize? Okay, the big ones, criticize the pastor, criticize the church, criticize the staff, criticize the deacons, whatever. Are those the people that you hang out with? Your associations will identify you. Romans 16, 17 says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." Your associations identify you. Who do you associate with? The music you listen to associates you with a certain group. One of the reasons we don't have Christian rock music in our church is because of the group it associates with. We shouldn't have it in our cars either, by the way. Rock music has always identified with sex and drugs. Adding Bible words to rock music doesn't redeem it. I know there's this teaching out there, you know, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let's redeem it. No, some things are is irredeemable a word? I don't know if that's a word. It associates you. We don't have it in our church. Well, that's one of the reasons. We ought to listen to music that clearly identifies us as followers of Jesus. The songs that we sung tonight, Brother Reed, thank you for choosing songs about heaven tonight. Those songs, they identify us as followers of Jesus Christ. If you put a rock beat to that, it's not going to identify us as followers of Jesus Christ. It's going to identify us with the world. You ought not to listen to music that identifies you with the world. Who do you associate with? Beyond just friends, if a visitor from a foreign country had to write a report describing you, and he wasn't allowed to meet you or interview you, but he was allowed to study your friends, study your music, and look at your Facebook page and your Snapchat account. He didn't talk to you, but he just looked at all the stuff around you, everything that you associate with. Would he think that you are a follower of Christ? What would his report say? We had a friend in Bible college. He was from Romania. Oh, he got so frustrated with Christians from America. You know, people from Romania, they had to stand up for what they believed a generation ago. They died for what they believed. That's where Richard Wurmbrand was thrown into prison and just tortured. He was so frustrated. Benny, I think, was his name. Benny LaRue. So frustrated at us. Because we'd complain about the simplest things, the silliest things. What would somebody from a country like that say if they were to look? I mean, let's go. Your Facebook page. The books that you read, the movies you watch, the music you listen to. I'm not just condemning you, I'm condemning myself. I want us to think about this. Who do we identify with? Do I identify as a disciple of Jesus Christ, or am I a follower of this world? One more story. 30,000 Chinese Christians died during the Boxer Rebellion. I don't have the exact dates. During that rebellion, I think it's 1920, something like that. During that rebellion, a mission station was captured. There's 100 students in that mission station. All the doors were blocked except for one. At the one door that was left open, they took a cross. The Chinese Communist government took a cross and laid it on the ground right by the door, right in front of the door. Any student who wanted to could just simply walk out over the cross, trample the cross under their feet, and walk free and live. That's all they had to do. The door was open. All they had to do was walk out over the cross, and they'd be free. The first 7 students did exactly that. They walked out scared to death. And in that situation, I'd like to think I wouldn't do that, but I've never been there. They walked out, walked over the cross, trampled it under their feet, and lived. The 8th student to walk out was a young girl. She walked up to the cross, and she knelt down beside it and just prayed for strength, and then carefully walked around the cross, not to step on it, walked to the firing squad, and was killed. The first 7 trampled the cross, but because of the one young girl that decided, I want to identify with Jesus Christ, she walked around it to her death. The next 98 students all followed her example, walked around the cross, did not trample the cross, and all 98 of those students died, but they died identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do you identify with? Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. There's a lot of teaching there, but what I want you to get is this. Do you identify with Him? Are you willing to identify with Jesus Christ? Father, thank you for this time that we've had together. Lord, this convicts me. So many times I've been embarrassed to be called a Christian. So many times I've been embarrassed of somebody thinking that I was a follower of Christ just because it's not popular or because somebody might not like me. Lord, this convicts me. Lord, the things I do, the things I say, the people I spend time with, the music I listen to, the entertainment that I watch, the messages I put out on my social networking, Lord, all of that, it identifies me. And Lord, it convicts me. Lord, I pray that tonight you would convict each and every one of us so that we might be a better follower of Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to. And I believe that most of the people here, they want to. I pray you'd help us. I pray that you'd help us to get rid of those things in our life that that cause us to identify with the world or the flesh or the devil. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to identify with you. What are those things we need to get rid of? What are those things that we need to flee? Lord, guide us tonight. Please put something in our heart, in our mind. Help us to know what it is exactly that is standing between us and identifying with you.